know if you noticed, but Steve was the first one to stand up. I think he wanted Pastor to tell him he was the young one that stood first. Is that what you were wanting, Steve?
Well, just in case
you have to sit
back.
Okay, all right. All right, let's head over to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And I just got to say, I apologize for this morning in the sense of it is really hard to follow a song leader who's blubbering behind the pulpit. And so I apologize on that side of things. But I just felt like God was working in perfect orchestration this morning on how he values life. And so God was just gripping at my heart, and I had no walls left to hold up, to hold back the tears. I mean, just God just let it flow. And I'm just thankful for the life that he does give and the time that we have with those that we have. And if you could be in prayer, I know that you probably had no idea what I was saying this morning. While I was at snow camp, we got done with our last service on Friday night, and I got a text and a call. There's like three different people that got in contact with me to tell me that one of my good friends from up north, they found him dead in his room. And that was tough. It's tough. But, you know, God gave us grace to be able to just keep on walking. He gave us snow camp to just keep moving, you know, rather than just sit there and take it all in. And so I was really thankful for that. But I was really thankful for everybody here just this morning that just came and texted us and just said, hey, we were praying for you. We love you. And that was just so encouraging. Because this is a community. This is what we need. I mean, God gives us a community that when we're not enough, he gives us a community to come alongside us and exhort us to keep on moving. And I'm really thankful for that. I don't know if you're thankful for that, but I'm really thankful for that. And a lot of you showed how good God is today just by being a blessing to us. But just thank you for your prayers in that situation. If you could be in prayer for his mom, he was only about 45, he's mid-40s, and his mom, her name is Carol, and I don't know where her faith is. I know it's a heavy Catholic family. And so just being prayer for Carol, because it was, they found him 4 months to the day when they found, his sister dead. His sister just died, just in the fall. So it's just tough. It was a tough one. So just being prayer for that whole situation, just a lot of things going on. So just be in prayer. All right, Genesis chapter 17. I entitled this a two-way street, and that's because relationships are exactly that. I imagine if your marriages was only built on one person giving all while the other person accepted all, your marriage would struggle. Friendships, it takes two to tango, right? Doesn't it? To where you can try to talk, you can try to communicate, you can try to reach out, but if there's nothing that comes back, if there's no work on the other side of the equation, it does make it difficult. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've tried to reach out to friends over and over again and they just never have gotten back with you, so you just kind of gave it up. I don't know if you've been in that situation. I imagine most of us have. And so you just kind of step back. And in this case, we'll see here that when God steps in several years later from where we were, I mean, we're going to see a big time difference from where we were in the last chapter to where we are now. And God is expecting a two-way street in the relationship that he has with Abraham. Well, it's going to be Abraham tonight. We're going to find that out. The name is going to change. The covenant is going to be updated. There's not going to be anything lost in this, these promises that he's standing on the promises, right? He's having faith in God, but God is going to step in and he's going to require something of Abraham and the people that serve in his household, that serve in his family. And so when we come to understand that walking with God takes two, it doesn't just take God, it takes us in response to that, where we start walking with. How many of you, you're walking down the road with your spouse and you notice that maybe you're not keeping pace with each other? Okay? Maybe you're late to an event and you don't like to be late. And you're walking a little bit fast and you look behind and your wife is way back there. You say, come on, let's go. Let's move it. I mean, you're kind of trying to motivate them along. That happened quite a bit at teen camp, you know, and snow camp. I was like, Keely, let's go. Let's go. We got to get to the service. Cause somebody catches and start talking. It's like, let's go. And she's like, you're just walking too fast. I was like, I'm just walking the speed that's necessary to get there on time. Let's go. Come on. it happens, you know, and God, when he's walking with us, he's wanting us to walk with him. He wants us to see what's in his word and walk accordingly. He wants us to walk with his guidance. And when the lamp is out there showing the way, we need to keep up. We need to keep walking. Have you ever been in a predicament like that where you're in the dark and one person has the flashlight and you get distracted, you look away, and then all of a sudden you look back and the person with the flashlight is way out in front of you and you're wondering what's in between you and them? God's got the light and he's walking along. Let's walk with. Let's look to his word. And so when we get in this today, we need to understand that there is a responsibility on our side of things. If tonight you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never trusted in the gospel, your job tonight is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And that's something that in order to start walking with God, you must have that salvation. And so if tonight, if that's where you are, that's where you need to start your walk, your race. That is where you need to start thinking, okay, where have I put my faith? Is it in me? Is it in my works? Is it in my dad's faith? Is it in my mom's faith? Or is it in me putting my faith in Jesus Christ for what he's done on the cross and rising again 3 days later to offer us that salvation? So just be thinking about that as we go along. But the rest of us who have already placed our faith and trust, how are you doing in your walk? These are questions that we need to be asking. So let me see. I'll ask you a few questions. By the way, the Joy Lunch did excellent. Was it a week ago? Am I getting that correct? Sometimes I forget when things were, but I asked you a ton of questions about sermons lately and announcements. Good job. Way to go. You had the answers. You did a very good job. So I'm going to ask you a few questions tonight. I don't have any gift cards to hand out, but I'm going to ask you a few questions tonight. You know, there's been a couple of people in this situation that they thought that they had a plan that would work alongside God's because God had stated promises, and they thought that they had a solution to God's plan. They thought that they had an individual that could step in and fulfill God's plan for them. So let's go off with number one. Let's see if you get it. And it might be a little bit tricky, but Abram, had offered an option to God when God said, hey, you're going to have a child. And he says, there's only one. Who was that? Do you remember? This was before a son was born into his household. Eliezer. Do you remember that? He says, I have this servant that's been born into my household. Is he the one? I've got a plan. God says, no. So then who else comes up with a plan? Sarai. And she says, Abram, I've got a plan. This might work. Under the technicality, this could be from your offspring. Who did she have to present to Abram? Hagar. Was it the plan? No, it was not what God wanted. Tonight, God is going to present his plan again, and Abram is going to struggle. He's going to laugh. And then I think that God presents a little bit of joke right after, presents a bit of a joke right after he starts laughing. I think it's quite funny. I think God reminds us of our weaknesses. Have you ever gotten that before? Sometimes maybe that's through your children, where all of a sudden you start seeing different weaknesses in your children start to come up. And you're thinking, what in the world went on? And then you realize that it was your weaknesses that's being shown through them. I think we're going to get that through what God is going to promise here tonight. So God provides a totally different plan than what they are thinking, than what they presented. And in this instance, I want you to think in your mind, listen, God hasn't said no as far as Ishmael goes to Abram. So at this point, after several years after Ishmael has been born, they've gone and submitted themselves underneath Sarai again. At this point, Abram still thinks that Ishmael is the solution. You will see that in this chapter. Several years of thinking this is the solution. There is several years that goes on here, and I'll present that as we jump in here. And then one other thing that I want you to think about as we jump into this. Certain things within the Old Testament are presented, and sometimes people get confused of whether those commandments are translated into the church age. And there's going to be something here that's going to be presented here tonight that does not translate into the church age as far as the exact commandment that's given, but the principles still reside. And we'll get into that in a little bit, because you might get, this is a really weird chapter. Just like last week, I think some of you were so excited about the soap opera that we dealt with last week, right? So here we go. We jump into the covenant grows in verses 1 through 8. The covenant grows. And by covenant growing, I really want you to understand that God is not changing or taking away from the covenant. He's actually updating it. He is giving, he's making it better by making a few additions to it. And so let's get into verse number 1. And it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Do you know what name of God that presents right there in that verse? Does anybody know? I know we're a little bit informal here. Well, no, but it is exactly what Linda Tippett, the Miss 17 points from last week, she said it, El Shaddai. That is the name that's given there behind the I am the Almighty God. And he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he said, oh man, that's a high, tall order to be able to presenting to Abram. We all know that he hasn't been perfect up till this point. So how's he supposed to be perfect now? Well, if you understand the term there, it means to be blameless in the sense that you are striving to be upright. You're striving to be walking according to what God wants him to walk. You notice this is absolutely beautiful in this picture. You know, how many times has Abram messed up so far? Should we even count? And yet, God still jumps in and says, Abram, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be upright. Does that give hope for you? It gives hope for me. As you walk around our world today, our community, do you ever get frustrated by what's going on in our world? Anybody? Okay, so it's not just me, all right? You ever get frustrated? Do you ever struggle with having a bad attitude? Do you ever step back and think, man, I don't think God could ever use that person? They'll never come to Christ. Oh, they used to come to church, but man, they're so screwed up. There's no hope for them anymore. Now, don't raise your hand. You don't have to confess your sins. But have you ever thought that? Has anyone ever thought that of us? I was thinking about what Pastor was presenting this morning with one in four women have been affected by abortion. Do we present ourselves as so holy that they never want to come and ask for help because all they think they'll get is judgment? Have you ever thought about that? Is there still hope for someone who's given up their child? Yes, there is. There's still hope for me. There's hope for them. Am I any better than that person? No, I am not. I am a sinner saved by grace. Paul, as the further that he got in the ministry, looked on himself and a more humble position than before, and how he relayed himself and how he got to the point where he says, I am the chiefest of sinners. That someone was called by God to accept Paul, who was Saul, and allow God to move through him. And because someone was allowed and called by God to accept this person, how many people have come to Christ? How many people heard the gospel? How many people was challenged by the hope that is given through the Word of God? And so as we jump into this case, listen, I hope that we're not jumping in here and saying, man, Abram is messed up. And say he could never be used of God, because you keep seeing God stepping in and reassuring Abram of the promises that he has made and saying, listen, still yet the families of this earth will be blessed through your lineage. If I was Abram, I would be breathing a sigh of relief. And in fact, I love how Abram responds here. In verse number 2, let's keep going. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. All he's seen is Ishmael up to date, and yet that hasn't been through Sarai. Okay, yeah, culturally speaking, it could have presented itself, but yet it's still not through Sarai. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Don't you love Abram's response? Do you get that? Abram fell on his face. Have you ever felt that way? Yes. We are allowed to feel as Baptists. Did you notice that he's not leading with his feelings? He's responding to the truth of the God that he has called him out of out of where he was and said, go to the land that I promised you, comes in and says, listen, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. The same one that has lifted you and brought you where you are is the same one that is going to fulfill these promises. And here I am still working with you. And his response is falling on his face. That would be called humility. Praise God. We should take this posture more often. What would happen if Christians all over the world, coming right down to the Christians that gather together at Grace Baptist Church in Taylorville, Illinois, what would happen if we took this posture more often? God Almighty. God kept talking with them. Verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And that goes right along with the definition behind the word there, father of nations. Okay, the name switched from Abram to Abraham. He is now the father of nations. He will be fruitful. He will multiply. There will be nations from him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being at 99 and you still don't have a child with Sarai? And here it is, God saying, listen, you're going to still have nations coming from your lineage. Can you imagine this promise that he's presenting? And yet God, here he is, he's saying, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Here it is. Abram fell on his face. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God is again reassuring him, this will be your land and it will be for your children. How many of you would love this covenant for your own children? Okay. God, you're providing security. God, you are providing a place where they can grow up and they can know that you are their God. You're providing hope. You're providing the strength. You are the Almighty. Yes, I want that for my children. And here he is. He's being promised this, talking with God himself. How many years? How many years has he been waiting for some of these promises to be fulfilled? Well, it's been 24 years since Abram came to Canaan. 24 years. And it's been 13 years from the birth of Ishmael. 13. So he's still seeing, hey, Ishmael, hey, it's probably going to be coming through him. At this point, this is the covenant. It's probably coming through him. Hey, praise God. Here it is. They'll be fruitful. This is how the covenant grows. But here we see the responsibility of Abraham as his name is being changed. And hopefully I won't keep saying Abram, but you understand what I'm saying here. Okay? We see the responsibility of Abraham. We jump into verse number 9 and it says, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So here's where the two-way street comes into play. He's saying, listen, I want you to keep this covenant. Verse 10, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee every man-child among you shall be circumcised. Whoa! Hold on for a second. Why? Right? Why would we jump into this type of a situation? You go into verse 11 and it says, "And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And an uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." You say, wow, this just got really intense, didn't it? I don't know if you've noticed, but Genesis is kind of a crazy book to read. And what God jumps out here and he says, listen, hey, if you're going to fulfill your side of the covenant, here I am fulfilling my side of the covenant, but I want you to fulfill yours. And now every man child has to do this sign. You have to make this decision. And if you do not, you will be cast out. You no longer fall underneath that umbrella. This will be a sign that you identify with me, that you follow what is a permanent decision. This is the command that I've said that doesn't translate into the church age. But there are some applications, there are some principles here that he's presented, that what he is saying here is, I want you to identify, this is a symbol, I want there to be distinction that you've committed to following in this covenant. I want you to be set apart. And when people do not want to follow what I've stated, there has to be a casting out. There is outside of that, the term that I've used, that umbrella. They are no longer submitting to the rule that I have set up for you. It wasn't necessarily about the physical act, but what it stood for. This was a permanent identifier for those who submitted to God's covenant. This was a constant reminder of what God was doing with his people. And when they did not follow what God had committed to them to obey, if they didn't want to jump in on the two-way relationship here and follow with their responsibilities, there would be consequences. You see, so what are the principles? What are the principles that relate to our context in the sense of identifying with Christ? You know that God has called us to be holy, to be set apart, to actually commit to a symbol that reveals that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? It's baptism. Those who have committed and putting their faith in Jesus Christ, he has called us to show what's happened on the inside, to show to those that are around us that you've committed to him, to show the symbol. What does this identify you as? It identifies you as one who has died to themselves. They've been buried just as Jesus. We're identifying with that, how he died on the cross, he was buried in the tomb, and rises new, raised. You see a picture of what is and what he's called us to. And when people don't want to commit to identifying with God, there's a serious issue. But here he has called Abram and said, hey, listen, this is your responsibility. This needs to be done. Was everything peachy as far as everything beyond this? Well, no, not necessarily. We jump here into verse number 15, and you actually see some questioning of what God's plan is going to present, because God goes on, and he's got more to say. And so when you go in verse number 15, it says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Princess. What? Royalty is going to come from this princess, if you want to say. If you see the picture there. It says in verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Whoa. So you're limiting this down to, this is no longer including Hagar, right? This is only Sarah. It says, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Okay, the first time seemed to be an act of worship. The second time, he was so overcome with laughter. It'd be like me coming up to some of you in the Joy Club and saying, hey, God wants you to have another child. There's a laughter. See? And we got a response. I don't know where it came from. Was that you, Joan? Okay. You're like, Yeah, right. I'm in the grandchild stage. No. We're not doing that again. Okay. I spoil and send home. Okay. That's my job. All right. It is in that same way. And Abraham just fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? He's not even questioning Sarah at this point. He's questioning himself. He says, can I even handle this? I'm 99. Having a child at 100? I've got a teenager now. Why do I want another one? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? There he goes. There he asks the question, can Sarah even do this? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Remember, Abraham first had a plan. Oh, Eliezer, is that the person you want? Nope. All right. Then Sarai, she had a plan. Hagar, let's put her in the midst. Nope. And what was the fruit of that experience? It was Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He's already live. We don't even have to go through this whole entire process. He's already here. God just used him. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughter. Why? Because Abraham laughed. Constant reminder of our weaknesses. And yet God shows himself mighty in the midst of it all. I shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So Ishmael's still going to be blessed, but it's not this everlasting covenant that's going to Ishmael. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. He has finally given Abraham a time frame when Sarah is going to have a child. Within the next year, this plan has already commenced. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. That was it. It's happening in a year. Here it comes. Be ready. Has God ever put you in a situation where he really didn't give you a whole lot of time to respond to it? to react to? I mean, your reaction was the carnal reaction, right? That's where you see from Abraham. And yet here he is. Here's what you get. This is what I got planned for you. Oh, well, God, isn't there a plan B? No. His ways are higher than our ways. His way is best. So I love the way that Abraham responds. And you find this last point, the subjection initiated. You see in verse 23, and Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. He's like, hey, let's get right to it. Let's follow what God has told us. It's going to happen right now. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the same day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with his money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. They automatically, after God had laid out the plan, there is no plan B. He says, this is what you need to follow. There is a two-way street here. I am the Almighty God that has presented these promises, and you can stand on these promises. If we want to use that song earlier, you can stand on these things. And Abraham responded in humility and faith, trusting God. This way is what needs to happen. He submitted. He went from laughter to submission. He went from, you got to be joking, God, to, God, I trust you. And he followed suit. I wonder if he had any complaints from the servants. I wonder if Ishmael fought back. God, Dad, are you serious? Can't I make a choice? What's going on? I'm not even going to be a part of the everlasting covenant. What are you doing? And yet Abraham led his house despite what could have presented itself as being a fight back. He just initiated this submission. He trusted God. God's going to take care of us. We will follow your will, God. He says, so what? Cool story. It's a real account of how a man who screwed up a lot put his faith in God. A man who didn't always lead in his family correctly, yet he put his faith in God and say, we're going to follow suit. A man who tried to submit all these other plans and to submit to some other plans, and yet he steps back and he says, God, all right, where are we at? Not the totally same situation, but yet God does give us promises, and he does expect us to be on the other side of that relationship, walking before him, walking with him, submitting to his will, putting our faith in him. Are we doing that? Or are we offering up our questioning? Are we offering up our laughter to him? Are you kidding me, God? Is this really what you want me to do? Or are we submitting? Sometimes we will laugh. Sometimes we will question. Sometimes we will struggle with this. But yet the end result needs to be us submitting ourselves to his will and what he wants for us. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how tough it is, this is what God has called us to, and so we need to do it. And no matter what happens, in this age, God's plan gives us a hope that's way better than what the world offers. Do you trust that? Do we trust that? Are we putting our faith in Him? See, not everybody's doing it. Lead the way. And guess what? You don't even have to be out front, because God is there leading us along. We just got to follow suit, and others will see us standing up and walking after Him, and hopefully they will imitate us as we imitate Christ. That's what we need to do. They say, well, nobody else is doing this. No, I don't see anybody else totally submitting to His will. Just get up and do it. That's what we've been called to do. Where's our faith? Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for this presentation, and although the commands don't translate into the church age, the principles do, of identifying with You, being set apart, being holy, God, that we would follow in faith, that we would submit ourselves to You. God, may this word that You presented be clear to us, that we would actually apply it to our lives, starting now. God, may we not procrastinate. May we not push it off to next month, or when I get comfortable, or God, just help us get rid of all the excuses and just step out in faith. God, we thank You so much for Your word. We can stand on the promises that You make no mistakes, that You value life, that You give us second, third, 50th chances. God, we're thankful for Your grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.